Have a banana, Hannah.
Hannah.
Try the salami, Tommy.
Oh, Tommy.
Here with the gravy, David.
David.
Everybody eats when they come to my house.
Welcome to Say Yes to the Chef. Our guest today is Alisa Wilcher. She's the owner and operator of Sangha Tea. And I am Chef Janice Escott. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, I'm Chef Kelly Taylor. Welcome.
Welcome, Alisa.
Hey.
Tea. We're going to talk about tea today.
We are.
So this is a wonderful subject because I happen to be a tea fan. I really like tea a lot.
Oh, good.
I drink tea every single day. So I really do. I grew up on tea, and although I have my morning coffee, tea is my steadfast beverage that I drink all the time.
And I think we're going to talk about something other than sweet tea here in
right,
the South.
Right, exactly.
Which is, you know, nothing against sweet tea, but,
right.
You know.
And we may include
good to
that
learn
somewhere.
Some other things.
Yeah,
you know.
It's totally true.
This is great. So, Alisa, tell us about yourself. How did you get involved with tea?
I got involved with tea after I was running a restaurant in Southern Village and then needed to take a break from that kind of pace. Ended up getting asked to run Honeysuckle Tea House out in Chapel Hill. Did that for 2 years. And then during the second year, I met a guy named Jeremy who's the owner and founder of Sangha. We started chatting, and we have a very similar vision on life and how the world should look to us. Mm-hmm. And he was ready to make moves and go to do something else. So after he courted me quite a bit, he finally was like, okay, you should be the next person to take over Sangha. Mm-hmm. So,
what does Sangha mean?
It means community.
Okay.
Oh, good word.
And that's
word.
Important to you.
Yeah.
I know we've talked.
Yeah.
Community. Why is community important to you?
Community is important to me because it says. It's inclusive. It's involving everyone. It leaves no one out. And considering that I have a non-traditional family, it's important that everyone's involved. Everyone feels included. And then the beauty with tea is that from as young as 1 to as 101 can enjoy different types of tea. So it really is all about the community.
And if we have a community that we enjoy and we hang out with, it creates longevity.
Correct.
It definitely does. That's an actual scientific proven fact.
Well, yeah, it's almost like, you know, the statement like kindness begets kindness and things of that sort. You know, you foster an environment where people can be positive, not only in their social and, you know, physical space, but once you allow them to be even more positive mentally, you know, that passes on to other people. And it's like the warmness just kind of continues to grow. And that's important.
Well said.
Hey, thanks.
Well, how does that show up? So in the business world, right? I forget what they're calling it now, but there is a term about businesses that are coming at business with a more mindful approach. But I don't know what the term is.
Are you going to get it? Are you not talking synergy?
No, okay. Not talking synergy, but that's a very businessy word.
Yeah, very businessy.
No, I just wonder how it shows up in what you do, like your values, how they show up in Sangha Tea.
If I'm understanding it correctly, it's being mindful of everybody, you know, not just looking at what you can sell someone, but what you can also offer them in other manners, you know, just being, sometimes people just need an ear to listen to them, you know, sometimes they just want a hey or a smile. And, you know, these little things, it's kind of like the butterfly effect. These little things can parlay into something else. And you don't even have to be there for it. You could be say something nice or do something nice for someone, and 45 minutes down the road, they hold a door for someone. Now, these are small things, but these small things add up to a stronger, more helpful, more unified community, mm-hmm. which is, in this world, that's what we need.
So I'm thinking of is like when you think about your business and you think about what is it that what are we going to stand for, sort of, and what are we about? Like when I think of customer service, you know, there's lots of ways to approach customer service.
Ah, yes.
And, you know, or what it is that you're saying that we are trying to put out into the world. Like if you come to Sangha Tea, we want you to feel this way.
We want you to feel welcomed. We also want you to feel nourished. I have a very long background in customer service. 14 years of it was spent behind a bar. And you learn to read people. When people come to Sangha, they're going to get knowledge on tea and what it can do for them in their everyday life. But they're also going to know that, you know, when they're there, they're being listened to. They're being seen. It's not just a, here's your bag of groceries, let's go. You know, there's eye contact. There's communication. There's, you know, looking more about this taking their money. It's like asking how their day is, you know, getting to know our community. Because I, for one, am pretty big into, like, not your regulars, as we used to say in the biz. like a name basis, you know, just who I am, I like to have, if I see someone walking up, I want to already have their tea being made so that when they get there and they're like, wow.
Oh, she like knows what tea I do.
Yeah, she knows what I want. Or it's like, oh man, I'm not going to tell her, but I want something different. But you know, that more of the community, and not to keep using the word, but you know, like a family, you know, if your spouse is coming home, well, maybe they want a glass of wine for that day. All right, well, let's have it waiting in the fridge. Kind of like with your guests that are coming to you, you know, let them know that they're going to see some friendly faces. They're going to be taken care of.
You used the word nourished, and I think that's very significant because Kelly and I are food people, and so we think in those terms. And I think that's interesting because I think you used that term for more than sustenance for your body. And I think that's what you were talking
totally.
About.
Totally. You nourishing your soul, absolutely. Your mind, your heart, you know, whatever it is that might be ailing you in some manner, you know, you got to find a way to nourish it. And hopefully we can help a little bit with that.
Mm-hmm. That's just great. I love that philosophy.
Yeah.
It should be on everyone's business mission to do that.
Yeah, for sure. Like with the mission statement, and you know, we try to parlay that not only with the business, but also with our kids, because it's, you know, it's important.
It really is. It's definitely. You will be a part of the Blue Dogwood.
Yes.
So let's talk about that for a minute.
Well, because I was going to say, where can people find you? Because we talk about when you go to Sangha Tea. Mm-hmm. So where do you go to Sangha Tea currently?
Where do you Sangha?
You should have a T-shirt called that. Where do you Sangha?
I love that.
So where can we go now? And then in the future, yes, you will be in the Blue Dogwood Public Market.
At present, we are Saturdays mornings at the Durham Farmers Market. Mm-hmm. Once the Blue Dogwood opens, we will be there.
Blue Dogwood is in downtown Chapel Hill.
Correct.
On Franklin Street.
Mm-hmm. We will have our space in there. Very excited about that. And then also, hopefully, coming up for the first Carborough Bazaar, we'll be debuting our tea trike.
Tell us about that.
Well, when is the bazaar?
The bazaar was originally March 12th. Now it's been pushed to March 19th.
So coming up.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. At the town commons where the farmer's market is in Carborough. Mm-hmm.
The 19th is a Sunday.
Correct, yes. Mm-hmm.
So they're still having the farmer's market on the Saturday. And
Saturday.
Then,
mm-hmm.
Correct, yes. Okay. And then the bazaar will be the following day. Mm-hmm. The tea trike is very similar to, think of a coffee bike, you know, a rickshaw, if you will.
Like in Seattle, on the corners.
Yeah, totally. but I'm bringing it to the South, and I've gotten some crazy looks. And some people are staring out, like, to my face. They're like, dude, that's weird. But that's okay. I embrace weird. I'm okay with that.
So it's actually a bicycle?
Yep. It's a cargo bike. Pedaling and everything on the back. Now on the front is the box with all my tea stuff in it. And, you know, I've got a couple locations in Chapel Hill / Carborough I've already been approved for Durham. I just kind of finish it out, and then hopefully we'll be able to.
So you'll just pedal over there?
Yep.
You'll be in good shape, let me tell you.
Okay, let's retry. It does have an electric motor on it now. So I'm not. Oh, right.
You're in good shape. Yeah. Well, we have to take a quick break. You're listening to Say Yes to the Chef on WCHL 97.9. Today, our guest is Aletha Wilcher, and we're talking all about tea. And we will continue the conversation when we return. Don't go anywhere.
Have a banana, Hannah.
Hannah.
Try the salami, Tommy.
Oh, Tommy.
Here with the gravy, David.
David.
Everybody eats when they come to my house.
Welcome back. You're listening to Say Yes to the Chef on WCHL. My name is Kelly Taylor with my co-host Janice Escott, and our guest today is Aletha Wilcher from Songa Tea, which the website, I assume, is
SongaTea.com.
We haven't said that yet, so that would be good to know. We are talking all about tea, obviously, today. And before we left for our break, we are just getting into this interesting new idea, which is a tea trike.
It's
new to here, but, you know, I've seen these trikes, like little bicycles with a big case on the front, and you wheel around, and I've seen them with ice cream and coffee and all kinds of things, but I haven't seen a tea one, so that's kind of novel and very interesting. And so you are going to be debuting that.
in Chapel Hill and Carrboro.
Correct.
So yeah. Look for her.
Yeah. Fingers crossed, barring any additional hiccups.
What color is your trike?
Well, it's blue because my choice was either blue or red. I went with blue. So,
well, so if you see a woman riding her bike
with the big box
Chapel
on the
Hill
front.
And Carrboro yeah. and a blue bike, and that would be Aletha.
Yes,
so honk and
you must have a sign that says tea or something.
Correct. It's going to be like a big blinking light with like arrow. No. I'm kidding.
I was like, wow, that's
it's like, it weighs really, it's heavy.
You're really going to be in very good shape.
Yeah. No, it'll be, you know, on the box and everything. I'm having someone that she hand writes it, amazing woman. So she's working on that for me.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. So are we ready to talk about tea?
Oh, let's talk about tea.
Let's do it.
So what's tea?
Tea.
Not sweet tea.
Not
well, although sweet tea is tea.
Yeah.
But totally. I mean, we all know what sweet tea is. A little tea, a lot of sugar.
Correct.
So we're talking about other kinds of teas.
Yes.
So let's branch out of sweet tea today and talk about all the other hundreds. How many are there of teas?
Oh, so many. I don't even know.
I don't know
count.
Either.
Yeah.
So let's learn about the other teas.
Sure.
So what is tea? What part of the plant is tea?
It's mostly the stem and the leaf, okay. Depending on what you're... which tea you're drinking. They all have their medicinal properties to them. They all can affect you in different ways. Mm-hmm. Like right now during this cold flu season, you know, white tea is really good for you. It's the least processed and it's going to be the most beneficial for, you know, antimicrobial. Hope I'm saying that right.
Yeah, that's
right. And, you know, it's good for you during the cold and flu season because it helps with the antibodies in your body. If you're someone like me, which I'm really going to be pushing to bring matcha to the forefront in this area, that's a green tea leaf, but it's all of it that's very slowly stone ground, turned into this really fine powder, and then you whisk it in not really hot water, but, you know, 176, and then you drink all of it. So you're taking the entire leaf in. And it is so insanely good for you.
Which is opposed to tea, which you steep.
Correct.
And then you take the leaf back out and you drink the steeped liquid.
That is correct.
So you're eating the whole thing.
Yeah, you're ingesting the entire thing. And, you know, there are some teas for, like, some of the better pu'ers and oolongs. You know, you can get 7 to 8 different steeps out of it. So you're going to continue to benefit from that one little tablespoon of tea that you just had. You know, you can
keep
continue using
water over it. Or...
Correct. Mm-hmm. Correct.
So what is white tea? That's just, so when we talk about different teas, they're named that because they come from a different plant?
It's all from the Camellia sinensis.
They're all from the same
correct.
Plant?
It's just how they are processed differently. Like with white teas, they are the most least processed. So they're not allowed to oxidize at all.
How do they not let it oxidize once they cut? That's fascinating. I'm like, just from a pure perspective, how would you keep it from oxidizing once you cut off the leaves? Is this the leaves that we're talking about?
Correct.
Yes. That's fascinating. I don't know that you know that.
I'm not super 100% versed on it.
It may be in the packaging, which
maybe
would mean that
they
would package it immediately, because oxidation happens when air gets to it. So it's probably in the packaging, I'm guessing.
Does it come like vacuum sealed?
Yes.
Yeah,
it's different ones. You know, the opposite of that would be your black teas that are oxidized and gone through a heavy processing. And so...
And almost an aging process, some of them.
Correct. Yeah. Like a pu-erh.
Mm-hmm. How do you spell pu-erh?
P-U-apostrophe-E-R-H.
Okay. I always wondered how you said that.
Yeah. Pu-erh. Well, I kept mispronouncing it until my right-hand tea guru, Morgan, was like, no, it's pu-erh. Okay, sorry about that. That's actually one he uses to use, and I'm doing air quotes, tea drunk, because you can continue drinking the same, like, little bit of a pu-erh, and you can continue drinking it so much that it kind of gives you, like, a feeling that you're drunk, hence tea drunk, yeah.
How really interesting.
It's caffeinated.
Correct.
And that's what's making you feel a little...
It's just the properties within the pu-erh itself. Oh. And pu-erh has been... There's some pu-erh cakes, if you will, that have been for like 2,000 years. Yeah.
What do you mean they've been for 2,000?
They've been packaged and, you know, they're in these little discs.
Uh-huh.
And that's how long they've been.
They just keep reusing that disc?
Well, they can cut off the, like, inside. Uh-huh. And so it's, you know, it's protected.
Oh, my gosh.
How interesting.
We do not have those at Sangha.
That seems like it would be very expensive.
Insanely expensive. Mm-hmm. That's not really in my budget.
Yeah,
Where does it originate?
Pu-erh?
Yeah.
Or your tea in general?
Pu-erh. Where did it first come from?
China.
From China.
Correct.
Okay.
Most tea is known or thought to have originated there, like, mm-hmm. ever how long ago. And, you know, that's why... You can have your camellia be grown stateside, but you're not exactly – it's not the same terrain. It's not the same soil, the climate, mm-hmm. elevation.
Everything influences it.
Yeah, and, you know, there's families that have been working these plantations for generations. And, you know, they know – they can do it in their sleep, basically, which who knows, they might be. But, you know, you're getting that time and care with all of it for all your different – ones that you're doing for, like, your lapshangs that have been smoked. You know, that's a delicate process. You're going to taste that when you're getting it from the direct source.
Wow, there's so many varieties.
They are, and I'm still, to this day, I'm still learning, and apparently it's something that I will continue learning, which is, you know, it's totally fine.
It definitely makes it interesting.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, for you as a business owner, I think to have something that you're interested in doing, but also you just keep learning as you go, because that keeps you engaged and you can offer different things.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's really a good part of having a business. You have to be able to be engaged and continually.
Exactly. Keeping that interest peak just a little bit so you don't kind of peter out, be like, mm-hmm. all right, well, this mm-hmm. is the same mm-hmm. thing over and over and over. And, mm-hmm. you know, not with the camellia, but when you get to herbals, that's something I'm also, like, besides matcha, which I'm super, super pumped and really want to get more people drinking it, would be herbals, because the twins, I have 5-year-old twins, mm-hmm. and, you know, they're actively drinking for it. My little girl asks for her flower tea, and that's her tea, and she knows if it has lemon in it, she knows if I've put honey in it, you know, and she knows what's up.
So The camellia is the tea that probably a lot of people would have drank.
Correct.
Right. So that's the one that's a black tea or a white tea, and the green tea.
Correct.
Green tea as well is in that family.
Oh,
it's
yes.
just in the processing.
Correct.
So first it's white, then it goes to green, then it goes to black. During the processing.
And yeah, oolong comes.
Where's oolong?
Oolong comes before black.
Okay. Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So they're going to change in flavor mm-hmm. as they are processed.
Change in flavor, properties, different medicinal things, for certain taste. That's a big one. And caffeine content. So.
Oh, okay. So which one has where how does the caffeine change?
With your white teas, the least processing, it still has caffeine, but it's going to be a little lower on the spectrum.
Okay.
You go to the other end where you have your pu-erhs and your blacks, you're going to be higher caffeine content with that.
Okay. So it gets higher as it's maybe concentrated, correct. It sounds like, because it's dried more or something. I don't know. We have to take another break on that thought. But when we get back, we'll keep talking about tea and learning all about it. Today, our guest is Elisa Wilcher. You're listening to Say Yes to the Chef on WCHL 97.9. I'm Kelly Taylor with Janice S. Scott. Don't go anywhere. We'll talk some more about tea.
Have a banana, Hannah. Try the salami, Tommy.
Oh, Tommy.
Here with the gravy, David.
David.
When they come to my house.
Welcome back. This is Say Yes to the Chef. I'm Kelly Taylor with Janice S. Scott, my co-host, and our guest is Elisa Wilcher of Sangha Tea, sanghatea.com. We've been talking about what tea is, which is fascinating because I really had no idea that all those names of teas were actually one plant and just processed differently. So I appreciate that, clearing that up for me. And we've talked about herbal, the camilla, which I always am pronouncing wrong, camilla teas, which are your green, black, white, oolong, herbal teas, and matcha tea, which you're particularly interested in.
And the pu'er also, which is very higher in caffeine, which is what something you said. But let's talk about the matcha. Why? And what does it taste like? And how do you prepare it? And where does it come from?
Matcha is not exactly the easiest thing in the world to get down. Depending on your grade of matcha, it can be bitter. It can have some grassy tones. Umami. That's it. Your higher grade is going to have more of that kind of flavor profile to it.
Matcha, really?
Correct.
I would not have guessed that in green tea. That's interesting.
Yeah.
So umami you find with soy and meat and cheese. So that's fascinating.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not all of them. Some of them. The matcha, you know, it's a very delicate process. They take the green tea or the green tea, and then the about 2 weeks before it's harvested, they cover it, keep it from getting more sunlight. The plant thinks it's dying, so it like sends as much chlorophyll to the plants and everything to the end to try to keep it from dying. And you know, they keep it shade grown, and then they harvest it. So it's going to have even more of your antioxidant properties to it.
Mm-hmm. Antioxidants show up as colorful things. So when your food is colorful, which is what you're saying,
yeah.
Even more green than the chlorophyll, more green, that means there's generally more antioxidants.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And the fact that matcha, you're taking in the entire leaf, it gives you, you're definitely awake. It gives you that, you know, alertness, but you're not jittery like with caffeine. Mm. You're going to be a little bit more level-headed, a little bit more clear. A lot of monks will just drink matcha as they're sitting for 17-plus hours in meditation because they can stay focused, they can stay alert, but they're not, you know, jumping all over the place. There is no crash with it.
It's not in a tea bag where you take where you steep it and then take it out. You actually drink the entire
powdered
leaf.
That's correct. Yeah. You'll take the matcha that I'm currently using comes all in a tin. You use a sifter and you make sure that it goes in as a nice fine powder and there's no clumps. Use your water to whisk it, bring it up to whatever amount you want. Properly, and then you drink it. I'm able to drink it just as is, and I enjoy it. My wife, on the other hand, had some super duper fancy matcha drink in New York, and now she's pretty convinced that that's, she does that at home. She mixes her own kind of stuff that she gets from Whole Foods, and she's got her own fancy concoction. And I'm not.
What's her fancy concoction?
Does she use milk or or honey?
No. She uses. It's actually their detox, if I'm not mistaken. It's got grapefruit, ginger, apples, and lemon in it. Yeah. That's and amazing. So she'll mix it. She makes her matcha, and then she adds that to it.
Wait, you mean these are juices?
It's a juice from, it's called a detox, if you will, from Whole Foods.
I had no idea. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Super fancy.
Yeah.
Super fancy. And mix it to help kind of not necessarily mask the flavor of matcha, but make it a little bit more palatable.
What is the flavor of matcha that you have?
Mostly, you're just getting bitter flavor.
Yeah.
Your higher grades is going to have a touch of that sweetness, but it's a grassy kind of sweetness. There's not a big taste to it, but that's because it coats your entire mouth. That's just kind of...
Mm-hmm. So do most people actually drink it like that, or do they add? I mean, you said that there was a juice component there, but do some people add honey or sugar or something to it to mellow it out a little bit?
One of our biggest seller, if not the biggest seller for Sangha tea currently, is called Coconut Matcha Latte. And it's the matcha. Oh. And then we blend it with coconut creamer, mm-hmm. you know, organic coconut creamer. And that, you know, there's a heavy sweetness to it. Mm-hmm. It's a little hard for me to drink because it is so insanely sweet. But it's very good. People just love it. They suck it down. It's amazing. And, you know, it's not necessarily that bad because you're getting all your healthy components of coconut mixed with your matcha. Mm-hmm. We're going to be trying to, especially at the marketplace at Blue Dogwood, we're going to be working with one of the other vendors there to incorporate fresh pressed juices to kind of incorporate my wife's idea mm-hmm. for not just milks, but your juices, if you will.
It's almost like when, you know, people want to try to incorporate greens into their drinks, right? They mm-hmm. mask mm-hmm. it with fruit mm-hmm. because yeah, right. the greens are bitter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so you're making a green smoothie, but that green smoothie has, you know,
strawberries or blueberries
or apple juice or something.
Pineapple.
To kind of, I think it's sort of like you have to work your way into it. You
yeah.
know, if you're not used to the flavor bitter, it's hard to get used to. I mm-hmm. mean, it's not mm-hmm. a flavor that we really drink that much. You know, the thing that we have, I always think of coffee as very bitter, and people do drink a lot of coffee, but they add a lot of stuff to their coffee here. So they're not really tasting that flavor bitter. And we don't eat it a lot.
No,
I mean, we have
don't.
Our greens, mm-hmm. but even then, they're messed with a
There's
lot.
Other things.
So that flavor is something that I think people have to work into.
Yeah.
into liking.
Yeah, it's getting. Not too hard for me to because, you know, out of the all the peppers, I prefer the green pepper. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's obviously the most bitter tasting one. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily hard for me to drink, but if I have been unwell for a couple days or especially any sort of stomach issues, you have to be careful because regardless if you're a seasoned matcha drinker or a green tea drinker, it's going to kind of mess up your stomach a little bit because it does play a little hard on your stomach lining.
The matcha does?
All green tea.
Oh, yeah. Like all green tea does.
Yeah, but especially matcha because it's so concentrated.
Right, right. So if you were sick, then you would say the herbal?
Herbals or whites, for sure. And, you know, depending on what you've got going on, oolong is really good because it helps, you know, increase your blood flow. It helps increase the oxygenation in your blood, mm-hmm. Which, you know, more positive blood flow, you know, helps
stuff move along.
Correct.
Right, right.
In and out, people.
Yeah. Like, come on, let's do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's antioxidants in there, too, which mm-hmm. are not going to harm you when you're starting
correct.
To feel better. I always, if I don't feel well, I always reach, like, for mint tea. That's my thing. If my stomach doesn't feel well or if I just don't feel well, I always reach for mint tea. It's the first thing I do. And it always calms my stomach easily. I think I started that when I had morning sickness.
Really?
A long, long time. My oldest is now 16. So I've been drinking it for a long time. And so now it's just sort of the thing. I don't even know if it's the idea that I just know that that's going to calm me. You know how you trick yourself mm-hmm. out mm-hmm. sometimes? But mint tea is very good for your digestion, and it is very good for upset stomach.
It is. I make it for the twin. Or not mint. Sometimes a mint tea, sometimes a ginger. Sometimes a lemon hibiscus for them when they're not feeling well. Mm-hmm. And for these guys, you know, especially Elsafina, you know, I throw some honey and lemon in there just to, you know.
So when we're talking about flavored teas, as you just were, are those teas made, for instance, out of the hibiscus or is that added to another tea like green or white or black or something like that?
Can be made altogether, like some of them, like your jasmine pearls, things of that sort, which is just a green. It's scented with the jasmine while it's being made. You know, mm-hmm. it's all put mm-hmm. together. Like a lemon hibiscus, it's going to have those components put together. It's going to be all made together. If it's drying together, if it's been flavored with it, you know, that happens, mm-hmm. you know, all during the mm-hmm. making process of it.
Right. And ginger tea would be ginger added to another
correct.
Tea. It might be.
Yeah, we have a ginger peach that okay. is just a black tea.
Black
it's
tea
got a little cardamom in it,
okay.
but also ginger.
Okay.
And peach. somewhere.
Oh, yes, so. And peach. You're right.
So, can't forget the peach part.
I know.
So in those teas, are there components of the actual fruit in the tea itself?
There can be.
Yeah. Okay.
Like a dried fruit.
Correct. It's been dried and dried with it, though. It's typically it's not a you've got a couple different parts all together. Typically, it's all done together so that it all meshes and blends.
Oh, yeah, so that the flavor permeates it.
Correct.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we have to take a break. You're listening to Say Yes to the Chef on 97.9 WCHL. We will come back with more from Elisa and learn something else about tea, I'm sure. Don't go anywhere.
Have a banana, Hannah. Try the salami, Tommy.
Oh, Tommy.
Here with the gravy, Davy.
Davy.
Everybody eats when they come to my house.
This is Kelly Taylor, and I'm with my co-host Janice Escott, and our guest today is Elisa Wilcher. You're listening to Say Yes to the Chef. If you just joined us, we've been talking all about tea. Elisa is the owner of Sangha Tea. SanghaTea.com if you want to look it up and check her out. She is currently available at the Saturday Farmers Market in Durham.
Correct.
And will be in the Blue Dogwood Public Market when that opens this spring.
Correct.
And on her tea trike.
And on her tea trike riding around through town. So you will be able to find her. And we've talked a lot about different types of teas and what they are, but I'm curious if you can teach us how to brew the perfect cup of tea. Because, you know, if you're English, you got a big brawl on your hand about how do you brew tea. So tell us.
When we're making tea at home or at the market or wherever we are, each tea has a particular temperature that it's best brewed with. Not to go back to matcha, but matcha is typically we'll do that at 176. You know, and that's how there is no brew time for that. For a white tea, you're looking around water temp of 180 to 185. And for that, it's going to be around a 3-minute steep. You know, typically you put it in. Try not to get your water to a boil, because once you get it to a boil, you've lost some of the oxygenation in the water itself, and it's going to actually change the flavor profile of the tea.
Well, now that's a problem, because when you put your tea kettle on, right?
Yes.
It boils, produces steam, and then the thing rings at you or whatever, sings at you. So we shouldn't be doing that.
That is correct. Unless you're making an herbal, your herbal teas need that 212 temp because it's going to help bring out the most medicinal properties of it, and it's not going to get bruised by the high temperatures of it.
Okay.
Your black teas can go to around 195-ish, steep for about a 5-minute. Same for a pu'er. And some of these, like your pu'ers, your oolongs, they can be re-steeped. You know, you take it out and you drink it, and then you're going to be able to do it again.
How do you know how many times you can re-steep something?
Typically, it's just by what, like your white teas, you really shouldn't re-steep those because it is such a delicate tea. You're kind of getting everything that you're going to get out of the first or second one. It just goes by what your tea is. Sometimes you can also go by the color of it. After, you know, 4 or 5 steeps, you know, you're losing that color. You're also losing the taste that you're getting, and it's almost kind of like a burnt taste, if you will, or the smell, the aroma, because it's done.
Are you talking about tea bags or loose tea?
Loose tea, loose leaf tea. Mm-hmm. But on the trike, it's still going to be the loose leaf, but we're going to be putting it into bags just for ease of cleanup. Mm-hmm. But all loose. That's the best way that, you know, you're protecting the product and what you're getting. You're able to actually visually see it and be like, look at all the different components of this. Look at how beautiful it is. This is what you're brewing, you know.
So you want to keep your tea sealed, right? How do you store it?
I store mine in vacuum or the containers that no longer let air in.
That's like a dark.
Correct. Yeah. You don't want sunlight coming in.
Steel or something.
Yes. Mm-hmm. No plastic ever because the flavors impart on it. Glass is good. Steel is good. Ceramic is one of the best, but it's also some of the heaviest. That you don't want like light coming in to permeate it. You know, basically it's like you put it in your dark corner of your cabinet away from heat.
Right. Because that makes it start oxidizing.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And the air, of course, hitting it would make it oxidize.
Mm-hmm.
And all those things are going to make your tea more bitter? Or what are they going to make? What happens? How do you know if your tea is like, oh, this tea is probably need to get rid of this tea?
probably on your first steep, because you're going to be able to, you know, it's not, it's going to have that funky taste like after you've opened a bottle of wine that you've kind of had corked for a little bit and it doesn't taste right.
Just
like,
off.
Like, wait a minute, that that tannin's hitting a little too close on the inside of the tongue. It's not going to have that pure taste. It's going to have, it can have sour notes. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, that's pretty much when you know it, it needs to hit the road.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So good. What happens if you do, if you brew it too hot, it also turns bitter?
Yes. You're basically,
okay, so you know that you'll be able to taste it.
Correct. And you're damaging your, the tea itself and, you know, what you're able to get from it, almost bruising it, if you will.
So you wouldn't be able to brew it again either.
Correct.
Because you've already kind of ruined it. It's
That's
like burning
correct.
Something. You can't bring it back to life. It's burnt.
Yep.
Yes. Okay.
So being a purist about the temperature, do you use the thermometer to check to make sure that that temperature is what you expect it to be?
I use different kettles that they're all temperature regulated. I'm toying around with some new products that's coming out, and it's actually a tea kettle that you put on the stove, and on the tea kettle itself, it has a thermometer. It's so rad. Yeah, and it tells you.
Wonderful.
Isn't it? It's so crazy.
Well, you know, there's like the electric tea kettles that you can set. Can you set a temperature on the electric tea? Yes. So
the one I use at home is just a 1 liter. It's not huge, but, you know, it has separate temperature settings on it. And fortunately, it gets to it pretty quickly. The ones we use at the market, they're like these 4 liter things that you get it to a temp and then it, you know, it's a vacuum boiler or vacuum heater. So it's going to retain that heat for a while. But it's very, very important, the temperature, almost as important as your brew time.
Mm-hmm. So you'll have it all set up at your, either on your trike or in the market, and you can have a different water temperature for all the different ones. So if somebody comes up, you'll be able to get the proper water temperature going right away.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Cool.
And by right away, you mean about 3 minutes.
Well, so, I meant the temperature is right, but then the brew can start.
Yeah,
like
totally.
You don't have to wait to get the temperature right, and then you start brewing the tea.
Correct.
Because
you
already have to, you know, brew the tea. So.
Yeah.
And we're so impatient here.
Yes, yes, we are.
So take a breath and let the tea brew.
Yeah.
Right. So tea is for drinking, as we know, and I grew up on tea. My grandmother would make me milk tea so that it was warm milk with a little bit of tea in it. So it was sort of part of your life. I mean, that's how we drank tea for such a long time, and then drinking it as I got older. Tea isn't tea without a little splash of milk in it most of the time.
Understood.
But cooking with tea is a fun thing to do, too. There is a tea-smoked duck that we used to make, but you have to have a wok, well, actually, or something like that, and some heavy foil. And then you put the black tea in there with some brown sugar and put it over a high heat. So you have to seal it, put a lid on it, and sometimes I would just put a ring of foil around that to keep the steam in, or to keep the cooking or the smoke in it.
Because you're so, smoking the tea.
Smoking the tea is basically what it is. And you put a rack inside and put some pieces of duck on there, or whatever you choose. Duck, to me, is the best. And then you put it over a high heat for a short time, 10, maybe 12 minutes. And when you take it out, you have smoked duck, tea smoked duck. It's a delicious flavor.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really good. I've had it in a restaurant a couple of times, but it's something that you can do at home easily.
Right. You can also use it in pastries.
Yep.
Yes, yes. So there are other things that you can do with tea.
Mm-hmm.
Besides just drinking it.
That is correct.
But drinking it is good, but it is also
good.
Fun to make other little creations
right.
with it.
Definitely true. It's definitely
what kind of tea would you use for smoked tea?
Black tea.
Oh, black tea. Yeah, only black tea. I guess because it has to handle the high heat. What would you, right?
Yeah.
Or right. It has to handle high heat.
Yeah. And
but I have done it with oolong because this was in connection with an Asian class that I was teaching. So I did use some oolong tea, which is lovely to do that. Yeah. And a little brown sugar because it has a tendency to help cause a little smoke in there. Huh. So it works well. Just try it. Try it in your walk.
Take a shower.
How interesting, though.
It definitely is. So all of those different kinds of tea, and we were talking about caffeine. So what is the highest caffeine of the teas?
That's the pu'er?
I'm going to say the pu'er.
The pu'er is the highest. Yeah. And so whenever the other end of the spectrum would be the herbal teas.
Correct. Herbal is caffeine-free. You're not going to get any...
So in between would be the whites and the greens. And
correct. Yes. And your blacks and your oolongs are going to fare more towards your caffeinated mm-hmm. side. Green, kind of middle of the road. White, more towards your herbals.
And green gets all the press for being the good tea. You know, like, you know, the healthy tea.
Yeah, that's
right?
True.
It gets all the press for it.
It does. Yeah. But if you really get down to the nuts and bolts, I mean, especially during, like, again, with cold and flu season, your white tea is going to be one of the better ones for you versus your green.
So we're going to be drinking tea. Lots of tea.
Yes.
Blue Dogwood Market.
Yes.
Okay. So please like us on our Facebook page, Yes to the Chef. And for more information and to listen to previous podcasts of this program, be sure to visit our website, www.yestothechef.com. Happy cooking, Kelly.
Happy cooking, Janice. And thanks so much.
Thank you, Elisa. This was wonderful. We learned a lot about tea today.
Thank you.